Welcome back, hell or high water deviled eggs, to another Sticks and Brimstones Won't Break My Bone Demons episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits. This is your Bone Daddy Patrick here speaking, and joining me are demonic children of the podcast this week. Your players and my friends, Gerbert, Rebecca, Seth, and Tyler.
What's up? Two-factor hey, authorization really? Is a scam.
What?
Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest.
No,
yeah.
No, it's actually like really good. Like, don't listen to Tyler.
Tyler had difficulty getting to like it's an the dumbest account thing. Today.
Don't do it. Anytime they're like, you want to enable two-factor authorization? They just want your cell number so they can sell it to other shills. Yeah.
Don't do
so
it.
Hammers.
Send your password to
Tyler. That's not correct.
Don't do it. Don't do it. And hey, you know what? Better yet, listener, if you have to even set up an account with somebody, tell them to drink your dirty underwear water. And don't do it. It's not worth it.
We is are that how you make coffee?
Of, Tyler, it sounds like you're gargling dirty underwear water.
I didn't choke on some spittle in the middle of my diatribe there. I was trying very hard to push through it. But
I was going to say, Seth, who is currently in the middle of a cybersecurity course, implores you to please consider two-factor authentication if it's available.
2FA forever. That's what I say.
Forever.
Although I do, as a librarian, I work with a lot of people who are trying to get into their Google accounts that are like, I don't know what that phone number is. I'm like, well, guess what? You're not getting into your Google account, maybe ever. Good luck with that. Goodbye.
No, I am Josh, and we did have a situation today where I was trying to get into a Cosmic Crit account, which told me to get into a different account, which then I tried to get into, which told me I had to have two-factor, which sent to somebody else's phone, and I was about to scream at the universe. Luckily, Patrick talked me down from the edge, so we're all...
Well, I'm literally looking at the Discord timeline here, and you message at 2:52, and this interaction was over at 2:55. Like, was this that much of a burden for you, these 3 minutes of time?
I burn hot and fast, Patrick. I am the equivalent of like a quick and easy starter log that you put in your fireplace.
Like, I replied back to you within 30 seconds, I feel like.
Yes, you did. Yeah, it was very prompt.
This conversation feels very apropos for like today, as in the day we're recording it, not the day that somebody's listening to this, but like, because Facebook had like a huge outage today, and I was reading about it on Reddit, and somebody was like, yeah, I texted my mom, hey, like, Facebook is having a nationwide issue, like, don't try to log in, and if you get logged out, just don't try to reset your password, just wait. And then like 10 minutes later, she texted back, so I saw your text, so I tried to log in. It wouldn't let me, so I reset my password. I still can't get in. What did I do? So, yeah, but everyone's having a lot of fun with logging in today. It's a lot of fun.
Brutal. I like the people at Meta, they didn't just like shut the whole thing down. Like,
I haven't visited Facebook in a long time.
Same.
I don't know what they did.
I'm just like again, going through the cybersecurity course, you contain the breach and then you repair it. So if you know that there's a breach with that sort of thing, shut it down.
But what about the money?
Okay, you're gonna lose a lot more in the long run.
that's just pessimist thinking.
I think we've proved that too big to fail is 100% a worthwhile strategy.
Okay, well, I'm really sorry. I got distracted because I was trying to ID a snake that entered my home earlier. But I am back, and I say we play Pathfinder because I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
You got it. All right. You got it.
Let's go. I'm
sorry.
She rolled life science, and now we're ready to go.
Well, sorry.
I mean, like, that's kind of poignant to what I was going to say, because, like...
There was a snake?
Meta definitely can't fail, because Mark Zuckerberg is a reptilian.
There you go.
Oh, boy. There you go. Much like the snake in my house.
Wait,
was
Rebecca.
Was Zuck in your house?
Zuckerberg was in Rebecca's house!
It was a teeny tiny snake, so we went downstairs. I walked right by it.
Zuckerberg already.
That's the one.
He's trying to get your eggs. Hide your eggs.
Did Zucker Snake hit the gritty in Rebecca's house?
He's trying to put everyone's passwords into your house.
Drew noticed the snake. I did not notice the snake. It's a teeny tiny little snake, like a foot long, and it was like super skinny and brown, and it was kind of cute, but I screamed. I hated it, you know.
Rebecca,
but
so Rebecca, that's, it. A well, that's a gardener. Worm.
I say we, but Drew really picked it up with tongs and put it in a box and took it outside. Oh, I brought in the tongs.
It sounds exactly like the snake that I found when I was out raking my yard one time, and I was raking and I saw something like flip up in the air, and I was like, "What the heck is that?"
So I felt really bad for it, but
and it was like it was a tiny little snake, and I named him Roberto, and I put him on the little patio next to me while I did my yard work, and then I was out there like just enjoying the nice sunny weather, and then I saw a little flash of brown. And by the time I looked over, Roberto was gone. Then I looked up on a power line, and there was a hawk eating Roberto.
Oh, no. So
that's the ballad of Roberto Kennedy. The
Gilberto literally just held Gilberto. The bird population. He didn't know he was doing it, but birds are struggling. They can't see the snakes in these grasses.
No, so I posted a picture of the snake on Reddit, and I was like, baby snake, maybe? I don't know. And somebody said, not a baby. That is a full-grown decays snake, and they only grow to like 12 inches long. Yeah, so.
Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
And did anybody else want to own a snake when they were growing up as a kid?
I love snakes if they are pets. I just don't want them in my house suddenly. You know, yeah. I think there's
you don't
a difference.
Like sudden snakes. Yeah, I feel that. I get snakes. That.
I'm the weird one here. I like it when snakes show up.
you like snakes are fine snake? Outside. Random snakes snake. Are good in the garden, in the yard. You know, that's an fine. But at the bottom of my stairs, not great.
Not where the snake should be. I don't. Yeah. And
well, it's the same thing. It's so messed up. The timing was so messed up, but. I was walking with my wife and I saw a squirrel and I was like, isn't it crazy that squirrels have such a good PR department that we don't think of them as just outdoor rats, you know, rats. Like big rats that are like running around.
Because they have fluffy tails. I hate squirrels.
They got fluffy tails.
So
yeah. And yeah. Well, my wife was like, well, they don't, you know, sometimes chew their way through your house and eat your food. I was like, you got me there. And then the next day, my coworker was attacked by a squirrel in her home. She got bit by it.
She oh no!
Home which, and like the
which by the way,
or, on...
by the way, a rat won't do.
Yeah, rat will run away.
Yeah, rats run.
Yeah, well, the
worst PR department.
The moral of the story is, even if it was rabies bound, they don't have a large enough infectious bite, you know, to impart rabies on someone else. So you don't got to worry about getting good. Shots if you get bit by a squirrel. I felt very bad for, you know, siding for squirrels for 1 minute.
You just have to think really hard about how you're going to get revenge on the squirrel is the thing.
Now I'm going to treat them like rats. I'm going to be like, F you, squirrel.
What the heck? Anti-rat sentiment?
I'm going to treat them like rats, and I'm going to name a pizza place for kids after them.
There's too many rats in the Boston area.
We don't have a lot of rats, but we do have possums, but I love possums. Possums cannot get rabies, and they eat so many ticks, like thousands of ticks.
They have a lot of personality, unlike your
personality
characters.
Is
They're
all
so
hateful.
Cute. I love them. I was trying to tie it back in, Seth.
There's not a lot of
you did it by insulting
jaw.
Our characters.
Well, nobody has jaw.
All right, let's hear pirate voice like number two, character. Patrick. When is that debuting?
the last episode of the podcast. I'm gonna rip it out, and you guys go back. It's like
this one's oh called, yeah, the second pirate voice.
This one's called Blue Steel.
I was about to say. He did it. He made a second voice. guys, this week's episode sees the four of you snapping out of the matrix. That is the trance inside the drowned dwarf.
Oh, we're not actually fighting the other group of enemies.
No. I was really, really jilted last time we played. And I'm just going to move on and just make every fight harder from here on out.
All right, that's fine. Level 27? I don't know.
At this point, because we are so far beyond the bounds of the original AP level wise. I am using like an encounter builder online to kind of measure the difficulties that I'm like throwing at you. And I think that one, you fought like five bone devils? Six bone devils. That was a moderate encounter, which like, you know, it wasn't supposed to be hard. It wasn't supposed to be like super difficult, but it also wasn't supposed to be, well, it goes trivial, low, moderate, and then severe and extreme. We're going between moderate and severe for some upcoming fights. So
yeah, there was there's a secret level beneath that one called Raffle Stomp, and so that was
to be fair, you need to like three adjust goblins. It depending on the presence or lack of presence of Sharga. Please feel free to bump up if Sharga. If no Sharga, please don't bump up.
The other thing though is like when you have somebody who can do an area of effect spell in this game, like that really changes like what the combat's gonna look like if you have like one big guy versus like a bunch of little guys.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why I was so like eager to fight lots of little guys.
Yeah, and so a bunch of little guys who seemingly had terrible reflex saves.
Casters can target, you know, different saves if they need to. You know, I mean,
I just meant you're
just a matter of figuring it out. I mean, it just so happens to be that all druids almost exclusively target reflex all the time.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I think it's a little more complicated than just like, oh, if Shark is there, then, you know, whatever. It takes more than a barbarian, but like, I mean, the barbarians are great, but like.
Yeah, it takes more than a barbarian would be a great name for a campaign.
But I guess what I'm just like commenting on is just like, it's dynamic in a number of ways, you know, where like it's sort of like, you know, scales to be easier or more difficult based on your party composition in a variety of ways. But
yeah, I think the main thing I'm going to look at moving forward is some more mixed parties of enemies, like one higher level that would say not be affected by an incapacitation kind of spell, and maybe a whole bunch of little ones that would really peeling back the GM screen beginning of this episode.
I mean, that worked pretty well in the Barnabas Harrigan fight, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that one. But yeah, let's get into it. This week's episode sees you guys indeed snapping out of the trance and the drowned dwarf. The evil wizard you sent that sent you all to hell and back is gone. And you see maybe a shocked Tessa Fairwind who helps you get to your feet and says, what's happened? The other bloke seemed to be off in a hurry. He left before I could draw my sword. I take it to mean that the negotiations went extremely well. Is that right?
Was he an evil wizard?
He looked evil to me, I believe.
Well, okay. If
that's fair, I guess.
You know, he has this pentagram on the ground here. I think it's upside down. So,
if by extremely well you meant that she made a bunch of probably impossible to meet demands, then and of course tried to kill us, then yes, things went extremely well.
What do you want to give her a rundown as you guys get out of there?
Not so much a rundown as just say like, well, it seems like her primary concern is getting her hellish nails all over Bartleby.
You hear a quiet yelp from underneath a barrel.
And who's
the
Bartleby?
The barrel.
I was going to say, you might not want to let Tessa Fairwind know about that part of it, because she's going to be like, oh, well, let's just give them the gnome.
I don't like this guy. He's always checking my math and stuff and correcting me about stuff.
I hate it.
I'm so sorry, but who is Bartleby? Who is Bartleby to the leader of the Chelish Armada? Do you have a hostage?
I walk over and I lift up the barrel and I say, this is Bartleby.
Okay. He's no, why is Bartleby there?
I'm hiding.
I'm guessing Bartleby did want to sneak in to listen to things.
No, no. I wasn't Metal Gear Soliding this thing. I was just hiding from the spooky chelish folks.
The barrel, for some reason, says the orange on the side of it.
Oh, okay, so this is not in the bar. This is on the way back to the ships on the dock. Barrowby is hiding in deep behind some
barrels. I'm still under a barrel.
You hear your name brought up in conversation, though, as you're hiding.
I know
not why they seek me. I only left West Crown as on a pilgrimage. Surely I have nothing of value to these folks.
Oh, well, I can tell you the reason that she wants you. She said that she simply wishes to reunite you with your family. It was her.
So much paper flipping got caught in the audio there.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad reading the book know from that last I'm having week. To look at me notes so that you can figure it.
Yeah, I mean, seems like a pretty reasonable exchange, right? I mean, you won't get to play Bartleby anymore, but Bartleby will be with his family.
So the doesn't know this exactly, but Bartleby is not entirely of this world. So Bartleby, I think, is like excited to hear this, but maybe doesn't know that his parents might not be entirely of the material plane in nature. And so
where's Bartleby from?
The Fae. It's from the Fae.
He's Fae inclined. So you think that has to do with what?
I mean, no. I mean, what Jabert thinks is that. Mm-hmm. No one's found Bartleby's parents. No one's actually found Bartleby's parents, but since nobody made a perception check to sense motive to see if maybe she was telling a tall tale.
You think you think I would lie, Bartleby, on the podcast to my friends?
I think Bartleby's reaction to this is to leap out of the barrel and to say, "They found me, Ma and Pa." Me, Ma, and Pa in flesh, so true.
Oh.
And not just the fake Ma and Pa from the Temple of Erasmus. What told me that death was the only salvation?
That was a lot to try to just absorb right there, but we don't really know, mate. I mean, they're a massive chelish figure just spouted off a bunch of what could be truce or what could be not truce to us and demanded that we hand you over to her, and in exchange...
But why would she not tell the truth about little old me? She must be telling the truth. It's my favorite thing to do is meet my family.
Oh, well, she also said that we would meet on neutral ground in good terms, and then she did none of those things. So I think in terms of truth-telling, she's like 1 for 6 or something like that.
To be fair, I mean, that was barely an inconvenience for you guys putting away them bone devils.
They don't know that. They don't know that. To them,
she just kind of like farted before she left.
Anyway, I do not know what she be planning, but I think giving her anything that she wants is probably a terrible idea for anyone who wants to remain free in the shackles.
Bartleby's like already in the little skiff, the little escape boat, just being like, "Listen, let me down. I'll go. That's fine. I got it myself. I can do this.
No.
I've got sailing lore. I can get there. Trust me, Captain.
Sharka, go pick him up.
Oh no, what are you doing? No, put me down. Back in the barrel with you.
That's a fair wind says we must raise anchor then, and we need to rejoin with the other pirates and get to Hell Harbor as quick as we can, quick as a whip. If that's where she's headed next, we don't need to exchange prisoners if we can sink all their ships. But, I mean, it sounds like there will be grisly business ahead no matter what. But if indeed what you say is true, then we're likely in for more than a spot of trouble.
Aye, for sure. That'd be true. I had half a mind to try and trick her with a prisoner exchange. As in, try to give up somebody who's disguised as Bartleby, but who isn't Bartleby.
Do you have another small figure that you're willing to exchange, like a child or something?
I think you almost know exactly who I want to change.
Gnome of some sort?
No, not a gnome, but we could probably make him look like a gnome, I think.
You just cut the the legs off of Itchy Toe Craig. You like pretend you're Bartleby. He's like, math papers, gods. It's my Bartleby impression. Oh, right. So you're more than most of the knights sail away, using the stars to guide you southeast from Drenchport, the remains of Drenchport to Hell Harbor. And in the middle of the night, as you and I think like the 7 or 8 other sailing ships that sail with Tessa Fairwind, you hear Jack Scrimshaw shouting, ringing the bell up in the crow's nest. And as he gets to the top deck here, he says, "Sails on the southern wind, 15 knots off the starboard side, Cap'n. It's an entire fleet." Indeed, as you get to a position where you can see that far away through the spyglass, you see just the tippy tops, the white little puffs of sails over the crest of the horizon, including the Tidebreaker. Your Armada is currently 9 ships, and you can count at least twice that, at least 18 here that are coming up from the south. So like 2-to-1 ships, two ships to your one ship.
Fantastic. That's a lot of ships.
It seems kind of at the same time, you know, your ship has made some call outs to the other ships in the fleet here, and Tessa Fairwind already seems to be kind of sailing north, like reactively, immediately, you know, just turning the sails into the Eye of Abednego. What would you like to do?
She's turning into the eye?
Turning in, yeah. To the north. I mean, it's like hundreds of miles away, so.
The story. Okay, she's just running away.
She's cutting the other way.
The actual damaging part of the storm is still 100 miles, so it's not like there's like some other barrier isles outside of the like Chalk Harbor and things. So at the very least, you could try to run that way and still be making your way towards Hell Harbor. But okay. Is there anything else you would like to do?
Question: is Alaris on her own ship or is she on the Tidebreaker?
Actually, I imagine you might be on one of the other ships in the fleet, but the Spider Silk was getting repairs weeks ago, so.
Okay, but she's not on the Tidebreaker.
I guess it's kind of up to you who you want to play this week. You don't have to captain ship right now, so what would you like to do, Rebecca?
I feel like it would make sense for Alaris to be captaining one of the ships in the Armada, but I could be wrong.
They already have their own captains. Are you just going to like usurp one of Tessa Fairwind's?
Okay, like, well, in that case, if they don't need captains, then I'll be on the Tidebreaker. That's fine.
Okay, well, that would mean Sharga would be given duties on another ship.
That's fine.
All right, good. Excellent. So I have a chance is what you're saying.
Oh, no. What have I done?
I have a chance. No. Captain Cassius, what are your orders here? What would you like to do?
We definitely don't want to give up Bartleby, right? No, I'm seeing no's.
Bert likes making new characters, so that's all I got to say.
Except for Bartleby, who's like,
send me over there. Who's not wanted to do anything so far, but has been dragged along thus far. And now that he wants to do something, nah, keep him back. Don't let him do his thing.
I mean, I was going to say, why don't we talk to Bartleby about, you know, would this be something he would be willing to do?
No, me mommy and daddy, I wish to go catch the ball with me daddy and hold the fingers of me mommy. That's what I want. That's all I want in life.
It's all right, not Jabert, our job Jabert, to Jabert, keep we heard him from, safe.
We heard from you, Jabert. What about Bartleby? We know what Jabert wants, but say something in character as Bartleby. The joke is that was Jabert talking.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. So I mean, I think Bartleby wants to be reunited with his parents, but I think that all of his friends would also know that often the things that Bartleby wants are not the things that are best for Bartleby, and so I'm not going to hold you to it. So.
Oh, that's. I mean, Cassius would definitely not want to give Thrum any advantage. Because Cassius has no idea why It makes no sense that she'd be willing to trade like 50 pirates for one account.
Loser. Oh, sorry. Accountant.
Yes.
I'm trying to take your healer away. It's all I can do is... In fact, actually, no. We want Sharga.
We found Sharga's parents. That's the ticket.
We actually don't need Ola Sharga, just like her arms. If you take those off and send them over, maybe some eyeballs.
But at the same Sharga's time,
arms parents.
You know, Cassius is a choose your own fate kind of guy. Nobody has any fancy teleportation or sub. Nobody has any like, haha, it's not me things or like, oh, lol, illusion.
It's not me.
Like,
what kind of like, haha, it's not me things are you talking about?
Like, oh, yep, totally. Here's Bartleby.
Sometimes I look like a dinosaur, but I'm
right. But more like, haha, look, yep, here's Bartleby. And they're like, cool, here are the pirates. And they're like, now we got you, Bartleby. And then it's like, oh, no, just a piece of wood.
I see, yes.
And then we run really fast.
Run really fast, yeah. Let's see, I have human form, I think, but I can't. But I don't have gnome form as Candoso.
Yeah, I can't think of any illusory way to do this.
Alaris can speak gnomish if it helps.
What's the you gotta reverse three kobolds in a trench coat. You gotta cut someone in half.
I mean,
like,
I
Greg.
I do have an elven cloak. I can be invisible and speak gnomish to them and then sneak up behind them and stab them in the back.
You wanna you do that.
How's that gonna help? Hold on, I'm so confused what the plan is here.
You turn invisible. We dress Scrimsaw Jack and disguise him as a gnome, and then you, in real time, dub over his voice with gnomish. Perfect. Absolutely flawless.
Do you want to try and curt around south to see if you can avoid this armada and see if you can parlay some way?
I don't know about parlay.
It'll only take about a half hour for, I mean, basically them to catch up.
Oh, you said they were really, really far away.
Well, if you sail in that direction and they're sailing in your direction, it'd take about an hour if you just like stop dead where you are. Probably a little bit longer than that. What's the like regular sailing speed? Probably get like, 5 miles?
Yeah, we definitely don't want to just like go straight at them and be in a 2-to-1 open sea situation. So let's skirt. Let's start with the skirt and see where we go from there.
The skirt?
Hold on, I'm sorry. We've gone in so many different directions. I need a Cliff Notes version of what's just happened. So, what?
Yeah, explain it, Tyler.
We've caught up to the Chelish Armada. It's 18 ships strong that we can currently see or count.
Okay.
And we are 9 strong, so they're 2-to-1 on us. And if we see them, they probably see us. And so...
Well, right now, at this distance, you can really only see sails at that distance, but...
But meanwhile, we're talking about giving Bartleby to Thrune, yeah. Right? But that's
maybe not.
Does that have anything to do with the Armada coming?
Yeah. If we wanted to, we could just sail straight to the Armada and say, "Here's Bartleby. Give us the pirates, and we'll go separate ways." You know, and hope that she keeps her word.
Oh, so Thrune is on the Armada. She is one of the ships in the Armada.
I am assuming.
I think she's the admiral of the Armada. So yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't presume she's like on the flagship. So.
Yeah. That is 100% exactly what I think is that. They have all the pirates somewhere in that fleet, and we would do an exchange, and then we lose Bartleby, get the Master of Gales, and a lot of his. Officers, I guess.
I mean, guys, I'm just gonna say this. I'm happy to play two different druids.
Oh, you're gonna play the Master of Gales?
I'll just build them both the exact same, and it'll be so cool.
You like do a super team up where it's
now
like,
the Master of Gales is going to cast a spell. It failed. Dang it!
lightning bolts. I cast two lightning bolts. Twice as good.
Another scenario. I know that we're talking about sending a disguised person instead of Scrimshaw Jack. I mean, this is about the same height. And his deception score is really high. He could disguise, potentially.
You do a disguise. Yeah.
Cassie's does have disguise kits.
We just don't have a way to get you back.
He can fly.
I think if we're gonna give one person to Thrun, we want to be able to get them back. Like if we were just gonna if we were just gonna sacrifice one person, we would just give Bartleby, right?
Yeah, it might as well. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. If we were gonna send in someone disguised, then they got to be able to have like, oh, I go invisible, I fly away. You know, right. You know.
I mean, I guess Bartleby might be. Like, does Bartleby have spells that would allow him to do that?
I have invisibility, but not fly away. Actually, wait a minute. No, hang on. I have
angel form. Yeah,
I have angel form. Yeah, I can fly.
Oh well, yeah, that's a whole thing. All right. I mean,
okay. Well, that's good to know. So we
go to heaven. I also get angel form if I get killed, and then I just go to meet Pharasma, and that's kind of like having angel form.
Because I was a good boy. I'm going to be an angel.
But I think
I'm going to get promoted when I die.
I think first thing is if we can position our fleet in a better place, then so they can't just like roll up on us. And
I really hope that it's like biblically accurate angel form.
No, where'd my arms and legs go? Why'd I got all these?
Well, no, you have like 17 arms now.
No, it's
think of the multi-strike.
It's your grandma's ceramic angel form. It's white people with blonde hair.
Right. It's just precious moments.
Yeah.
God, Bartleby turned cherubic almost. Ugh.
Yeah. Bartleby's angel form is just a Saint Valentine, just like
the Cupid.
Fear me, shoots arrows that make you fall in love with people.
Yeah, so what's the plan here? That you do you want to try and stop and see if this fleet will pass you by or what?
Oh, because you said they're sailing.
They'd be sailing north.
They're sailing north and we're sailing south, so we could just...
Southeast.
I feel like I'm in geometry. I need like lines of trajectories.
Going to cross? A map.
Where do they intersect?
If a Chelish Armada is heading north at 30 knots...
Exactly.
Then what is a knot?
This is your guys'
F minus whatever your answer was.
This is your guys' path, and these ships seem to be coming.
Whoop! That's a J
from the south.
Oh! I'm looking over. Just different.
They're coming from the direction of Port Peril, not the I.
Potentially, or from the waters around the. The Isle of Devil's Arches, the Isles where the Hell Harbor is.
Just so that I recall, did we identify them correctly as Chelish ships even? Or because I think you were like,
too far away to do so.
So they could not even be Chelish ships.
Okay. Could they be Bonefists?
Let's definitely hide. Can we hide and wait till they get closer and see what the hell's going on?
Yeah, if we maybe like get behind this island right here, if we can just sort
past
of
invisibility on the ship, Bartleby.
So let's say probably not the entire armada of nine ships here, but if you do you want to break off from Tessa Fairwind's vessels and have them keep going.
So when you say they went towards the eye, they went like up this way, right?
They kind of like towards
the northeast.
I mean, I'm fine going with Tessa's ships and then until like we can identify the ships that are coming up from the south and then we can make a decision. But
yeah,
because if they're ally ships, that'd be dope.
Yeah, well, one option would be to leave someone behind. Like Candoso could hang behind on.
I was gonna say Bartleby again. It's like ditch Bartleby.
I was gonna say Candoso can hang out behind on a phantom steed, because I can book it pretty quick on a phantom steed and might be able to evade their detection. And worst case scenario, I can turn into a sea monster and swim away. But so they've got an 80-foot speed and walk on water 8 hours a day. So if you guys want to break off, Candoso is happy to sort of like wait behind and just sort of like, you know, wait in the water there and get a good look at them. Or I don't know what ships look like. If somebody else wants to wait on my steed, I can just cast it for them. Whichever you want.
I mean, Alaris would be happy to stay behind with Candoso as well, if that
who
would
wants
be of
my
use.
Watery, salty steed. Candoso's salty steed is yours for the grabbing.
Is the steed strictly one person only?
It is, unfortunately, one person only. Okay. Yeah.
I've got sailing lore. I just want someone to be able to identify what these ships are, right? I'm guessing sailing lore would be.
Yeah, do you want to send this Alaris?
I was going to say, this might be a question for you. What is the level of knowledge of, like, people's ships at this point? Like, we've been doing this for some time. I haven't put any points into anything else, but...
aided? I mean, you would have to be pretty close, like within a few miles, to identify a ship by the cut of its jib, the outline, and how its bow was kind of created. That being said, the vast majority of Aranax and Dimion's ships, for example, are Chelish ships, but they've been retrofitted and do kind of present their sails in a different way, so that if it is, say, Hell Harbor ships, you might have to get even closer to identify, like, to see what flag they're flying or something along those lines.
Okay.
But otherwise, just identifying, you know, the Chelish naval, like, flotilla versus, you know, some other pirate ships, you'd probably be able to tell pretty easily. I don't think skill-wise it'd be difficult.
I think I'll go myself, just because, like, if we do get spotted and the steed gets blasted, it's not hard to kill if you're shooting at the horse. So I'll...
Cassius tosses you his magical spyglass.
Ooh, perfect.
The far glass.
The far... goes far, get it?
It's a far glass. It's legally different.
Goes far, get it?
So...
you mean the spyglass? No, it's completely different.
I'll post a link in the Discord.
Yes. From a high height, like flying, for example, you can... It can see over 10 miles pretty closely, so you wouldn't have to get that far away from the ship if you wanted to do that.
And more importantly, if you have trouble identifying things, you can cast clairaudience or clairvoyance, and you can just listen to who's on the ship, which might give you a pretty significant hit as to who's on there.
Yeah, with a bunch of demons talking, it's probably going to be the demon
witcher. I can't wait to kill everyone in the shackles.
Oh, man, Bartleby's going to taste so good, isn't he?
Alaris would also like to lend her goggles of night to Candessa.
Okay.
All right. What are you giving him, though?
Goggles of night give you dark vision and also +2 to sight-based perception checks.
Seth, give him your hand wraps in case he gets into a fist fight.
No, I was going to say he'll put his hands into like a binocular shape and put them over his eyes.
It's exactly what I needed.
That's so we've got actual goggles, hand goggles, and a spyglass. All right.
Stacking them all up.
Yep.
And that's how the telescope was invented.
So, Candoso, you just want to ride out from the ship? What cool thing does Candoso say as you, like, your horse touches down on the surface of the water and, like, bucks up, like, neighs? Imagine it's like,
yeah, that's kind of how I kind of imagine it. It's sort of like, mm-hmm. like it's like a, like the sea sort of like rises up, you know, underneath, like up to like my waist, and conveys me around. That's sort of how I imagine it.
What if this is the last thing that they hear Candoso say? What do you want your final words to be?
If it be allies, I'll see you in Hell Harbor. If it be the Chelish, I'll see you in hell. Bring it!
I play a good sweet guitar lick.
So wicked.
So wicked.
I think I'm going to like bebop here behind this little island right here that we're passing, mm-hmm. where we would sort of intersect, and try to lay low relatively close to the shore there.
Do you want to wait until they get within 3 miles to activate the fog glass?
Yes, yeah. And so I'm going to wait until they're pretty close. And so,
make me a perception check.
Okay. So I've got 26 +2 from Alaris. I'm going to roll the d20. All right. So a 12 +20 is 38 +2 is 40. And then what does the fog glass do again?
It just allows you to see, immediately within those 3 miles. If you're on the ground level, do you want to fly up at all and get like a
this horse can fly. Just can fly. So,
damn it now.
Yeah. So I can if I see them come into view and I'm having any trouble at all identifying them, I don't mind like racing up in like a spiral, and so it might make me a little more visible as there's sort of this like pillar of water.
Right. This island actually is the island of flying horses, so you blend in really well.
Perfect. I love it. Yeah. That's what I was hoping for.
The island of flywater horses. Yeah. It's very well known in these parts, and people stay away because they poo and pee up there, and you don't want to be underneath.
That's right. When it hits terminal velocity, it's serious. Yeah. It can injure somebody. It's way worse than the Dave Matthews bus.
They hydrate so much, these water horses.
I like how the Dave Matthews bus just keeps coming back.
Hey, never forget.
I think about it like once a month. I'm not even joking.
It's just the craziest story in the whole world.
It happened in the mid-2000s. It happened a long time ago.
But the entire band pooped on a bunch of people.
Oh, here's a crazy thing. So Jet, who is a member of sister podcast Non-Standard Action, works for tour bus company. The tour boat company.
Not the bus.
No. the company that he works for, it was one of their boats that got pooped on by Dave Matthews.
That's pretty wild.
God, he's a ship's captain. He should be Tyler, the pretender.
Well, remember, when we started off, Jeff was giving us all kinds of corrections at the start. I literally
captained a ship.
Not that I know of. Let's move on.
Hey, guys. These days, he's a captain. Am I right?
Hey! Got him.
Can't say that. Right, let's cut back to Tessa Fairwind and the Driftrider. That would be so useful right now.
That would be so nice.
It launches
Alindra the new... comes out and...
Gosh, can you imagine? That's the finale. Is like, where are we? Oh, I don't know. This doesn't look like Absalom Station no more. That's Knack talking.
Sounds just like him.
Continuing on to the barrier islands outside of Hell Harbor, you know, a few miles away from there, you see a long procession of ships that seem to have formed a barrier around the harbor. You know, you're still like 3 miles out or so. And these are the better part of a quarter mile apart, you know, like a barricade. And far off in the distance, you see what looks like a giant cloud of smoke and something circling above where Hell Harbor perhaps is being besieged. That's what you see. Tessa Fairwind comes abroad, the Tidebreaker, and has her cast a spell on her, and then she's chatting in your ear. She's whispering away, and she says, "I count at least 20 sails on the horizon. There, it looks like we're too late." Hell Harbor is already under attack, Captain Cassius.
You see any way where we could assist them? Maybe we could lead some of the Chellish ships away from the fight.
Well, part of our strategy has always been to try and make for the Eye and outsail them in rough seas, or head back to Port Peril and try to defend ourselves in the waters there. But I don't know if either of those will be an option that will see Endymion live through this fight, not if they have already sent in the Marines into the city and whatever other horrors they have on their ships. It is possible, though, that we could give them at least some time to fight back. It would likely endanger the majority of our ships. I don't think many would make it through here, and I know that my captains will be willing to lay their lives on the line, but I don't know if I can ask that of you, good sir. What say ye?
Well, I personally just want to see as many of these ships reach the briny bottom as possible. Even if we just bring to them some good old-fashioned hit and run naval warfare. We could potentially put a bit of a dampener on their run here. And we still have Bartleby if we do get caught.
Yeah, you're missing your own Master of Gales, but it seems like this Bartleby character that I'm literally just hearing about is a big deal, so I'm glad that you've got him on your ship safe and sound. I will raise the flag if you're willing to fly under it for Port Peril, for Quint, for Drenchport, and for Hell Harbor. But if this be the fight that we die in, it has been an honor sailing with you these last few years.
Ah, you can say all the sentimental stuff to me after we've won.
All right. So as your ships turn south to head towards this defensive line, I think the spotters catch you as these ships and a defensive line around the harbor begin to kind of circle around to meet you, you know, kind of close the circle. And you see, as you get closer, even more ships in the harbor, and you can easily identify these as Chelish vessels that seem to be engaging in naval warfare with the ships of Hell Harbor. It looks like the battle has been going on for some time here. As you draw closer, though, you notice whatever the cloud is above Hell Harbor doesn't seem to be made up of just smoke or clouds of any kind, but you see thousands of what look like bats, perhaps, flying above the city in kind of almost a hypnotic way, like a way that, you know, starlings will kind of make these odd shapes. They seem to be reacting to things and every once in a while kind of diving down towards the ground. But there are black splotches in this cloud, and more wings rise up from what looks like the decks of these vessels that are sailing towards you. And a number of them are coming right for your ship. Let's pop into Initiative Tournament. Why not?
Cassius calls out to his crew, "Get ready! We have target practice flying right for us, mates."
So right now I've got Bartleby, Honto, Alaris, and Cassius on the Tidebreaker, since I didn't know Candosa would be gone here, but is that who you guys want to take into this fight?
Sure.
You can have Cassius just pilot the ship if you want to play Kovic, Tyler.
Oh, that might not be a bad idea if we are going to be shooting at things, considering Kovic is, you know...
Oh, sorry, I'm not on the right map for you guys. That's not your
ranger.
That's not your roles.
Seth and I are 19 buddies.
Oh, sure are.
Well,
don't break the streak, Tyler. Roll it.
Roll a 19.
Roll a 19. Tyler, just do it.
Do it.
Wait, where is my character?
Oh, there's like a sea of people. You just have to find it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, don't worry. I'll do you one better than a 19.
Oh, we're sort of down in the bottom. Oh, one better.
Opposite
than
side of the dice.
A two, in fact.
That is one better.
I don't. How is this possible, Rebecca? Did you roll for the dog Waffles?
I don't know what I rolled for. I did like a I tried to select whatever character I could select on the map.
Waffles?
Waffles?
Who's all Waffles?
Right. Waffles is the dog. The
Waffles
ship's
dog? Is the dog right before, right below Tam Narwhal Tate on the map.
Wait, there's just been our dog this whole time?
I believe it is one of our C team's animals, and it's okay. Not...
I was going to say, I don't remember
Waffles. I can control it, apparently, so...
Wow, all right.
Well, I am now playing Rebecca. As Waffles.
Rebecca's playing
the
Waffles
dice have
now.
Spoken. Yeah, you are...
I agree.
As Waffles.
I agree.
Waffles hits like Sharga, so it works out very well.
Yeah. Nice. You're Waffles
now. Waffles goes into a rage.
It's like a corgi with like red eyes.
Right. You wonder why the queen kept those things around all that time.
Yeah, for some reason, all players, it's in all players' journals and can be edited by all players. Waffles.
Waffles.
We got it. Let's check out these stats here. 15 armor class, 8 hit points. Okay, it's not a good start.
That's my waffles.
Yeah. But resistance 20 to all damage.
You can crit waffles on a 1.
You can crit waffles with a thought.
Yeah,
we would never put you in danger, waffles. This is all fun and games.
Here, I'll re-roll with my actual character, I guess.
Oh, we can use the same number.
I don't want the dog to die. We'll have to put like a warning on the podcast if that happens. So
I'll cut all that out for you.
Cassius is throwing waffles to the demons if it makes me think you get away. The devil.
Place yourself on the ship. They're flying in, so they will be upon the vessel very shortly. They look like large leathery wings flapping, wicked looking tails coming your direction.
I assume you mean on like the lowest image of the ship?
Yeah, the one where your characters are here. Are you playing Kovic, Tyler?
Yeah, I'll play Kovic. Why not?
Okay. All right.
Cassius will, I'll put him up over by the wheel.
Cassius is doing his best. You know what? If you want to play it, also, basically the way I play with my teens that have two characters, I'm like, on your initiative count, if you want to activate either character, I'm okay with that. Want your other characters right here, but I just can't.
You said too close to Cassius, and
maybe I'll think about it.
No, Sharga's definitely on another ship.
Yeah.
It's only hilarious here, unless you want to switch it up.
Oh, for Waffles? I get to play as Waffles now?
If you want to play as Waffles, that's always an option. Okay, let me roll that dice. All right, well, I'm going last.
I like that. Boop.
I will say they fly into kind of an immediate range of the ship. I'm going to put them on the map so you can see them. And I will show you what they're looking like. Spun guys, look at them. It's having a good time. It's like a four-winged, large, devilish creature. One of them seems to have a like bestial armor, shield, and a great axe. And the other one's these wicked-looking tridents and bidents and what have you. But yeah, and they're flying in formation to your vessel. There are other winged creatures, maybe not as large, going to the other ships in Tessa Fairwind's fleet. Let's roll, get into the initiative turn order and talk to Bartleby, who's first. Bartleby, you can feel these things coming. A foul stench of evil on the winds of smoke and flames burning from Hell Harbor. The Brimstone, by a prick of your thumbs, little gnome one.
All right.
What do you like to do?
Let's see. These guys are. Let's see. Are we on like this lower one or this top one?
The lower deck.
Okay, the lower deck. Okay.
Yeah, but that's approximately where they are in water world territory. I can make that a little better.
Okay. I suppose I'll move up a little bit. Although, let me check and see what the distance is here. Okay. Yeah, I could reach these guys. I'm gonna move up a bit, right behind Kovic, and going to, is that really what I want to do? Is that really what I want to do?
Get right in line with Kovic.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm thinking about, right? I mean, part of me is like you should cast Bless, right? That's like the great thing that clerics do. But what are the odds that people are going to be anywhere near me when they're actually fighting these guys, right? So maybe I shouldn't cast that. Maybe instead I should use my Holy Castigation class feat to treat these devilish demons and such as undead. And cast a level 9 heal upon them and smack them with some beef-tastic damage.
You just picking one of them out and blasting them?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm going to pick maybe this one here in the center. Try to mess up their formation.
Okay.
If they're coming in a formation.
So that's flying. It's flying V.
That's a like. Basic fortitude save to you.
Okay. All right. Not going to mess up which one this is. Fortitude. What is the DC?
Let's see. My DC is 38.
Okay. Right in the middle here with an 11. That is going to be a fail.
Oh, good.
So never mind. I looked at the wrong number. That is going to be a success.
All right. So let me just roll the damage for these guys.
I might have looked at a different save besides fortitude.
Half of 153.
Okay, well, that's still
77. What do you say?
And this is just positive damage, like they were undead.
Yes, correct. Oh, wait, no, hang on a minute. This is foolishness. I apologize. This is it's this amount. Sorry, still pretty good. Yeah, so more like 59 damage.
Hey, that's still a lot. All right, so yeah, you blast this one with some positive energy. You see its flesh searing in the, I guess it's just the wee early morning hours here when you get to Hell Harbor. So like a little bit of light over the horizon. Honto, you are next in the initiative turn order. What would you like to do?
Destroy them all. Well, I guess the thing I should probably do is we're dealing with flying stuff. I'm going to spend one action entering stance if I have to do that. And then I have to... Where is it? Ah, there we go. Then I'm going to spend another action casting Wind Jump, which will enable me to fly for the next...
Oh my.
...minute?
Okay. So the wind gathers around you. Who needs a Kando so for storm control?
Yeah. The little various bits and bobs and detritus kind of float around him a little bit, perhaps. Don't really know if there's anything I can do currently aside from, I guess, just get a little bit closer and wait for them to close in.
Okay, then we are on to Alaris.
Alaris is going to hunker down where she is currently, which is sort of in a corner, and hide. I'm going to hide, and if anything comes within reach or nearby, I will swipe at them.
Okay, so ready in an attack action here. That's fine. That will
and bring also us hiding. To... Can I hide?
Yes, because no, yeah, because that's a single action, right? And then you can ready a two action attack. Wait, hide. Well, it's been so long since we've used stealth. What is your stealth bonus?
Oh, sorry, 28.
Okay, I can get it from your roll.
My roll.
Okay, alrighty, Kovic, Tyler, what you feeling, bud? You're muted there, so got no clue what you're thinking.
Read my mind.
Can I fire the ballista or whatever these things? I can't remember what these actually are. Cross? Wait, are they ballista? No. Can I fire big bolty gun?
Yes. Would you like to? It's up to you.
I would like to try and fire the big bolty gun thing.
Sure. Go right ahead. No, so
one of the little ones.
I do think you have some on the forecastle if you want to move up there.
Sure. I will move up there. Whoop.
Do you need to make a lock-on action as well? It will take just an action to fire them. I don't know if you want to do anything else, but...
I'll lock on and fire.
Well, I mean, do you have any other... Kovic abilities that you would like to do before you attack, I guess is what I'm asking.
No, not really. I think I just will shoot the thing.
Okay. Yeah, make a just attack roll for me.
Here comes a d20. I hope it's high or low so I don't have to do the math. Yeah, I got my wish. Can I reroll that?
No. Point. Not allowing it because I'm forgetting siege weapons are just straight up saves. But what is your class DC? That's what I'm going to use for this.
Ah, uh-oh. Well, my class DC would be 37.
37? Yeah. In a row? Okay, I've rolled not bad. Great. It is a fail. This is 4d12 piercing.
Okay.
Not, wow. Not grand damage on 4d12, but...
I think rolling four of any dice is bad luck. We shouldn't do that. I need to roll odd numbers of dice.
I don't know if that episode's come out yet. I've got some great when this one comes out, but be prepared. Right, show. Prepared.
Just roll 3d12. See what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that for science.
It's gonna be so much more than.
So I got 17 on 4d12.
Yep, there you 3, go.
3, 10, 1.
It's more.
And I got
21 on 3d12.
21 on 3d12.
Is there anything you want to do? I'm
science has been concluded. Jabert, was that science? Did we science correctly?
Oh, that's a science.
Okay. Yeah. All right, nice.
That's a science.
We scienced everyone.
Is there a third action you want to do, Tyler? I'm guessing you're attacking the same one that Bartleby attacked.
Sure.
And let's say that, and then as a third action, it takes multiple people to reload this thing, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think I could reload this before they get to the ship, or are they about to get to the ship?
No. It will take a couple of actions by multiple
people. Then my third action will be getting my actual crossbow out.
Okay. I'll bring us to ship time. These guys attacking the ship time. So the one that Bartleby blasted is obviously going to Bartleby. One closest to you, Kovic, is going in your direction. Then, unfortunately, I think these other two are going to have to make two. Oh, no, I guess. No, they're going to have to make two flies, I think, to get over to the captain. Right. At least this big one is going to have to do that. This other one's also going to go down just towards Honto, so we can make a single move. So the captain is going to move twice to get to Captain Cassius. Does he see Alaris hiding in the corner? I rolled a dice for you, Rebecca. I'm referring back to said dice. And for hide, it is stealth check to the perception DC of the creature. Let me take a look at that. Unfortunately, this one does seem to see you down there. And it's not crossing in like difficult territory. If he has to move twice, he can move just kind of up to the side of the ship to get at Cassius and start blasting the captain. A single action attack.
Oh, thanks.
This is like the biggest and beefiest looking one that's going for Cassius. Oh boy. I'm gonna keep this number secret, Tyler. And oh yeah, I rolled a 9 on the dice. I'm guessing that's a hit as well. I'm rolling all kinds of secret dice today. I really like it. Okay. What's your fortitude save as Cassius? Sorry to have you have two character sheets open, but this is what 24. We've done to ourselves. Okay. Let's make a couple attacks against... Do just one attack? No. A couple of stabbing attacks against... We'll start with Bartleby. Well, we prefer to see these numbers in the other order, but what is Bartleby's armor class? Bert?
And a 36 for Bartleby.
This 3 on the dice is a miss. The 16 is going to be a hit. Some damage. This is 29 points of piercing damage. And let me do a couple of attacks against Honto while you're here. Right next to our main man, Bartleby. 19 on the first attack, 8 on the second attack. So, what is Honto's armor class?
It's a 41.
Okay. Not a critical hit, the 19. Wow. But very much. Very much a hit. Very much.
Kind of surprised.
Well, these three that have come up to the side of the ship don't look as big and mean as the one that's gone for Captain Cassius. Obviously, Captain Cassius deserves the biggest straw.
Sure.
Apparently.
Also, 29 points of piercing damage, and we're going to attack Kovic a couple times as well. Maybe a crit here. 17 on the first attack. What is Kovic's armor class, Tyler?
36. As we are all aware, I do not upgrade the armor on my characters ever.
I don't either, but, you know, Monk.
But Monk.
Okay. That is a critical hit on Kovic. So let me do a little bit more damage here this time around. Okay. This is 72 points of piercing damage. I need Kovic to make me fortitude safe.
Of course.
Fortitude safe.
Hold on one second. I believe I have... Okay, good. So I do have Juggernaut. So fails or saves or crit saves, so on and so forth.
30. Well, that's good. That is a save.
All right.
So no worries there, right? But, ooh, no. Yeah. Yeah, you're fine. These are their weapon attacks, so nothing else besides that. And we're on to turn 2. Bartleby, back to you.
Righto. Okay, so I've got a few folks close at hand. Vic, did you get hit?
I got crit.
You got crit.
For 72 points of damage.
Okay, and Honto, you got crit. You just got hit, right?
Yeah, it was a little hit. Just a little. Not that bad.
I'm going to free action. Way of Kovic to move towards me, friend. Move towards me. Move towards me, friend. But in the meantime, I'm going to hazard a 3-action heal.
Oh, my.
From my cleric font. So, again, it'll so basically healed back up to full.
Okay.
And and each of the 3 demons that are near me need to make fortitude saves. Basic fortitude saves.
Roll them bones. I'm going to do left to right for these guys.
Okay. Sounds good.
Ooh. Not great on the first one. A 2 on the dice is still not a crit fail, but a fail.
Mm-hmm.
And a 9 is... I'm sorry, your DC was 37?
38.
I think the 9 and the 11 are just going to be just saves.
Well, let's see what I roll. 54 damage to the one who failed, and then 27 to each of the other two.
And then, you understand why I want to take Bartleby out. Take him out of the equation.
Hunto, 54 hit points back if you need it. So
that's like twice as many as I need.
Yeah, that's what I figured. That's why I want Kovic to move into range.
I will shuffle shortly.
Shuffle yonder, Kovic. Shuffle yonder.
I mean, if you want, you could just hold that. You could hold your turn.
I guess he does come before the bad guys do. Yeah, you know, why don't... I mean, you raise a good point, Patrick. Free action, I say, shuffle yonder, Kovic.
Kovic to me! All right, well then, we know what's going to happen, but yeah. Honto, you're technically not healed yet, so to full, what would you like to do?
I'm not technically... Wait, what?
Well, if he's holding his action.
I'm going to hold my action until Kovic...
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, I'll undo the... Okay, I got it. I'm kind of hurt again. Okay. In that case... One's going after the captain?
The big one. Big armored one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it close to the surface of the boat?
Yeah, it's on the level of Cassia, so just up the first flight of stairs and the command deck.
Well, I spent that key point and that action getting ready to fly. It wasn't even necessary.
Fly over it.
Sure.
Fly on top.
Yeah, that confers bonuses, ?
Well, someone can flank underneath.
That's true. Okay. But if I leave, Bartleby has 2 of them directly in front of him.
Bartleby seems to be doing just fine.
That's true.
I'm definitely not going to have these 2 knock out Bartleby and fly him to some undisclosed location.
That's never happened before. There's no precedent for it.
Never happened to Bartleby.
That's true.
You would not see that coming, I promise you so.
Well, let's just open up and see if we can do this quickly. Maybe make it so there's only one of them here. It's a different... I always go with Force with Keystrike. Is there something else I could do, maybe? That might be a little bit more relevant. Ooh. These are like demons, right, Jabert?
You are very correct. So. They are like demons.
They're like demons, and that they very are demons?
Like. No, they are like demons.
Oh, okay.
We had a whole conversation about...
It's like they might be giants, but like they might be demons.
Well, there's a fairly specific difference between demons and devils in this game, so they are very much like demons.
I wonder if... What do you guys think? Do I take a gamble and try and do a positive energy flurry?
Why not?
I think positive usually is like versus undead. I have a special thing that makes it versus demons and devils.
But, right. So it's usually not good against them.
Yeah. It's sort of a special case that my heal works against.
Force is just, nothing resists it.
Yeah.
You can't resist force.
Yeah. that's why the Jedi never lost ever.
That's true. There's just so much force. All right, yeah, why not? Let's do a key flurry then before I waste any more time on the gentleman or individual demon-like thing to the north of me. Make it a 41 to hit?
That is a hit.
Okay, and then let's just do the second one real quick. 36 to hit?
That is a hit.
Okay. I'm right with this. What level are we again? 17. 16. Okay, it's an extra 5d6 per hit. All right.
Oh my.
Yeah. Keystrike really starts to pay dividends eventually.
Like, we already got a lot of damage on the board here. And ooh,
yes,
it's almost double.
Almost. So we are looking at 54, 73 points of force damage from that flurry.
Ooh, okay. Well, oh, wait, 73?
Yes, there is an additional 2 that gets added. It's plus 1 per strike.
Okay, what's it? It says 18, 25, 21, and 17.
Mm-hmm. Did I math wrong?
Oh, yeah. I got more, so I don't want to shortchange you.
You got more?
Yes, with my calculator, my trusty calculator, I got 81, and that's not including any additionals.
Oh, I must have mathed incorrectly. I'm not doing well today, I guess. I'm sorry. I guess make that 83 then.
Okay. Oops. My head. Okay. Not bloodied, but all that damage going through, obviously. What else
would
you like
to do? That's not even beat 'em up. All right, in that case, I'll stick around. Let's just do 2 more strikes then.
Regular strikes?
Yeah. 27 is not going to miss. 37 will hit, though. 22 yep. piercing.
Yeah.
Before 22. Any reductions.
It seems like your regular strikes land true, all the damage going through.
Nice. Yeah, because it's technically... not just unarmed damage, right? I'm also... God, my strikes do all kinds of things.
It could be anything. You're going to have to narrow it down more. But before
They're treated as adamantine at this point. How crazy is that?
Very crazy. Look out, Wolverine, you jerk. Alaris, we are on to you.
All right, Alaris is going to come up to this devil that's on the stairs. Can I reach it?
Yeah, you actually move kind of like up the stairs a little bit and get like right underneath it. Yeah, right okay. right underneath and start stabbing. Do you want to, I'm not going to tell you how to play your character, but you want to try to sneak against it? That's something you can do?
Didn't it already saw me. Can I sneak?
Let's see.
I think you can hide.
Yeah,
well,
yeah I guess
tried
you would
to hide
to,
before.
You would have to, yeah, move then hide. Sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
It's fine. I'll just come up underneath it and strike at it. It'll be fun.
Oh, boy.
It's a 48 to hit.
Well, yeah, I mean, if your definition of fun is critting on your first attack.
Yeah.
Extremely fun.
All right. Very fun. 18 on the it dice. Is not flat-footed to me, but
oh,
I rolled
wait.
A
Oh, no.
Damage.
Sorry. Sorry. This is the big one. That's not a crit. I'm just yanking it out from underneath you. I'm so sorry, Rebecca.
Unbelievable.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Dame.
His little shield comes down and blocks the crit damage last second. Oh all no. Right. Oh well, no. How much damage are we talking?
I should have tumbled through it or something. Can I tumble through it if I'm tumbling underneath it? I don't know how that works. I guess just 20 slashing damage. It's very sad. But I have another action, so I'm going to strike again. Oh, that's only a 29.
That's a miss. That is a miss. Kovic, back to you, Tyler.
I scoot. I shimmy over.
Oh, towards Bartleby, right. And what else do you want to do?
I guess while I'm doing that, I will... I guess I'll just pull out the greatsword because everybody's close. And mark the one next to me as hunted. And then take a single strike.
Chow.
42 hits.
That is a hit.
Let's do, you know.
And I apologize. Which one are you attacking? The one that was attacking Bartleby.
Yeah.
Okay. How much damage?
32.
Not beating him up yet. Next action.
That's all.
Oof. Yep, that'll do it. Bartleby blasts a bunch of healing, positive healing that hurts these things. On their turn as they move in for the kill, four kills, for several kills on your characters as their leathery wings flap around you. We will get to the rest of this combat next week because that and much more devilish combat is a tale for another time here on Dead Men on No Crits. We're in the thick of it.
Not going to grab that gnome.
I'm going to try my best.
You're not going to do it.
Got a week to try and
this whole week it's going to be Patrick just throwing random rolls at us, and we just have to. Like,
I'm going to look up the grapple rules real well. Okay. Sleep great everybody, tonight, guys.
Everybody study grapple, please.
Yeah, that's going to do it, guys. Thank you for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Listeners, thanks for listening. We'll get back to Hell Harbor and more. So Patreon Pirates, Freebie Captains, batten down the hatches. And we'll catch you on the next week's episode here on Dead Men Rollin'.
Yar.
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 Yar.